If you need help with food and medicine, mental health and addictions, foster parenting and child support, the state agency in charge of helping you is the Department of Social and Health Services. It's got an $11 billion budget, 2.3 million clients, and 60,000 employees. And the department has a new leader, Kevin Quigley. For the past 10 years, former state senator Kevin Quigley ran the biggest shipbuilding company in the Northwest. Where is he going to take the agency? Where should he be taking it? Give us a call if you've got a question or a comment. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Welcome, Kevin Quigley. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
I'm going to get you a little bit closer to that microphone. You've said that the job you've just taken, Secretary of DSHS, secretaries come and go, and the same problems persist. Back in 1995, you said, we appoint a new person, chew them up, and spit them out. And yet you wanted this job. You lobbied for this job. Why did you want a job that you said at one time, chewed people up and spit them out?
Well, the reason I wanted the job is because it is, in fact, such a large agency and touches so many people's lives that when I looked at my own life, I thought, if I can make a difference here, I will make a difference for a huge number of people. And that's a hugely rewarding kind of thing to do. And I feel that every day I go to work.
You know, your department is dealing with some incredibly difficult problems, decisions about when to remove a child from the home, tracking abuse of children, dealing with foster care. A lot of family problems that have evolved in our society kind of end up at the doorstep of DSHS. Is your agency tasked with problems that are really beyond the ability of a government agency to deal with?
You know, I have to tell you, there's no sense in us asking that question. What the reality is every square inch of this state is in some way or another covered by, in the case you raised, a Child Protective Services investigator. And if a call comes in and there's a child in danger, we do initial face-to-face visit with that child anywhere in the state within 24 or 72 hours, depending on the seriousness. And after that, we have no choice but to take care of them. So it's not a question of if it's too much. It's just a reality that we have to do our very best for those children.
We read about and hear about the sensational cases of children who've been left in abusive situations, horrible, horrible stories, lawsuits against the agency you now lead. How common are those cases? We certainly, these attentions grab our attention.
Well, we get about 75,000, we call them intakes, calls a year to our hotline. About 35,000 of those we investigate. And every one of those walks the razor's edge because on the one hand, we don't want that child to be unsafe. But on the other hand, it's equally as dangerous to take them out of that home and put them into our foster care system, because as strong as it may be, it's not like a family, or at least doesn't start out that way. We hope it ends that way. So every one of those cases is difficult. We have 350 investigators on the front line spread across almost 50 offices, and they're taking on that challenge every day. They're walking that razor's edge every day.
You know, it's not just Washington State. It's every state in the union. It's many countries all over the world that try to do a job in the areas that your department, DSHS, does. When you look around, do you see other places that have agencies that you would like to model DSHS on when it comes to improving what you do?
Well, I have to break that up because, as you pointed out, we're so many different agencies. So let's just keep talking about children's for a second. In one place, our state totally rocks, and that's the point I just mentioned, and that is more than 97% of the time we do that initial face-to-face interview of the child within 24 or 72 hours as appropriate, and that's great. Where we have to work harder is we have to bring our caseloads down, close out cases in less than 90 days, which we haven't done a good job on, and I'd like to say that the governor showed his values in the budget that just came out and gave us the funds we need to address that problem. Now, you raised the question, who else is doing great work that we should be looking at? The piece that we're looking at now is a thing called differential response. So of these 25,000 cases that we get that we do investigate, roughly half, the less serious half, the ones that don't involve sexual abuse or physical abuse, the ones that involve really neglect or extreme neglect, we're going to start to handle those in a different way. Instead of an investigative format, we're going to take a more constructive approach where we try to find out what that family needs that got them so far off track and give that support to that family so in the end we avoid bringing that child into our system.
Why doesn't that happen now?
It's about cash and innovation. That is more expensive. It is frankly more expensive to find out what a family needs and provide them what they need than to be, and this is an oversimplification, be the traffic cop who writes a ticket. You know, because again, we're talking, or even that prescribes the next step. We're talking about actively engaging the family. They may need parenting skills. They may need housing support. They may need a vacuum cleaner just to be able to keep their house clean so it's not filthy. So it's a complicated process. And in fact, this is another area where, again, in the governor's budget that came out today, the governor showed his value system because he knew this program was on the books, and he basically said, if we're going to do it, we're going to properly fund it, because all the data shows if we don't fund it, we might as well not do it. And he put $8.6 million into this program, so now we have a chance to be successful.
As you mentioned, the governor's budget did come out today. Overall, did DSHS get some more funding out of this, less funding, a wash?
Well, generally, in any budget, of course, because the number of children we serve and so forth always increases, our budget goes up. But there were a couple of areas where the vulnerable were not being protected. And in those areas, the governor stepped up. In child protective services and in adult protective services, he stepped up big. And then the other area is in our mental hospitals. We struggle in our mental hospitals. They're a little bit out of sight, out of mind. And the governor said, basically, we need to fund these hospitals so that they can provide the care that's necessary. So I'd say in those three areas, the governor, even though his focus was education, even though his general focus is education and jobs, his value system came through and he said, we're going to protect the vulnerable.
So you've got more money to look at these cases of children. Do you have enough money?
I think the ball's in our court now. If the House and the Senate pass the budget that the governor has recommended in terms of child protective services, then we owe them a strong accounting showing that, number one, we're closing out cases that have been open more than 90 days and we're not going to have those open going forward unless law enforcement requires it, which is a small number. And number two, we have over 100 investigators in this state who have 35, 45, or 55 cases. And the experts would tell you it should be about 15. So we'll also have to demonstrate to the governor and the legislature that we're bringing down those caseloads. And I think we can do both.
You've done your time in the state legislature. You're not unfamiliar with what goes on down there. And you're certainly not unfamiliar with the big budget issues that are facing the state right now. What's your read on where these proposals will fare when it comes to increasing funding, particularly in the child protective services area?
So I'm just going to take a wild guess. I've spoken a couple of times with Representative Hunter, and you know, when he talks about the budget, he talks about it in terms of values. And I think that anybody who talks about the budget in terms of values is someone that we're going to do well with. So, and in the Senate, we need to work hard with Senator Hill to articulate the needs. And now the ball's in our court to do a good job explaining to him not only what the need is, but how we're willing to be held accountable. So we still have work to do.
When you say you're going to work hard, I gather that means it's perhaps an uphill battle in that house?
I would say we are going to work hard.
All right. Kevin Quigley is with me. If you missed it, he's become the new Secretary of the State Department of Social and Health Services. It's a huge department. I had a hard time believing this. You have 16,000 employees?
Well, 16,352 this morning, I think. And in fact, what's interesting is two budgets ago, we had 18,000 and some employees. So we've really seen a substantial decrease. But still, 16,352 employees, that's a big management challenge.
You know, a fellow cabinet member said that a key reason Governor Inslee chose you to head DSHS is your background in business and particularly in lean management techniques. Do you think that's part of why you were chosen?
I do think it's part of why that why I was chosen. And I think, you know, you've mentioned my my shipbuilding past, but I've also run and restructured an e-commerce company, run global business development, have law degrees from NYU and Harvard, have my Senate checkered past. So all that stuff together, that business pass, I think is what the governor felt that I could apply to DSHS to bring that business know-how to how do we deliver services more efficiently.
You know, there's a good drinking game if you take a shot every time the governor mentions lean management. It's kind of one of his mantras, his buzzwords. But I kind of wonder, the idea behind it very basically is that you try to improve what you're doing. You try to improve the product by constant maintenance of it. But it's oriented towards business. Social services is not business. Why do you think these same types of tactics can apply to social services?
I'm absolutely certain they can. So let's just take Child Protective Services. So we have a very complicated and appropriately complicated process that you have to go to as you go through the process of investigating a complaint. And it involves a safety assessment to determine whether we should leave that child in or take them out of the home. It involves a investigative report, as you would guess, and a whole series of steps that those investigators are asked to go through. So in the case of lien, and we are going to apply lien to Child Protective Services, we're going to work with that team, because I think working with the frontline team is essential, and look at all the steps they go through and determine how can we streamline this process. Because like so many things, it's accretive. Every new secretary, every new legislative session, something gets added, and now's the time to kind of clean house and streamline. But I'm absolutely certain you can apply lien in the social services context.
Now, Liz wrote to us. It sounds like she wants the help, but she can't figure out a way to do it. She writes, "One thing I cannot find on the DSHS website is an entry point to provide input into the department's continuous quality improvement process. Is there any place on the website someone can go to make a suggestion?"
Well, if there isn't now, there will be soon.
All right, Liz, you heard it here. Report back to us whether you see that. And Kevin Quigley is making a note that there will be a place there for you to give your feedback on specific ways the Department of Social and Health Services can improve. We're at 206-543-5869. Maybe you've got a question or another issue that you'd like to bring up. 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. You've ordered new training for managers to make poor performing employees accountable. How's that going so far? I realize it's pretty early.
It's early, and it's part of a number of initiatives we're taking within the Human Resources Department. One of the other initiatives is we found that as a result of cuts in past years, we didn't have the human resources horsepower to hire people even when the legislature has approved them. So there are probably few people at DSHS who are hopping as much and working as hard and as fast as our whole HR team, and that is on their list.
Do you expect to fire more people than your predecessors did because they're not performing up to standards?
I don't think that it would be fair to go in with a marker like that. What I expect to do is I expect to make sure that no manager within DSHS has a mentality where they just throw up their hands and say, you know, the process is so complicated that I can't hold anyone accountable. Because if that happens over a number of years, then when you come in later and you want to hold that person accountable, it does become impossible. You've got to follow a set of processes to make that happen. But as I often say when I talk about this topic, I worry that it gives the wrong impression. I spend one day a week out chatting with the front line. I've been all over the state, and these are super hardworking folks. And really, if you took the temperature, who wants a change in this more, who is more anxious to take truly non-performing employees and not have them on the team, it's those frontline people who I talk to. But I don't want to add to the misimpression that we don't have a hardworking team. We have a team today who's doing more work than ever before with, as I mentioned earlier, 2,000 fewer people.
Is your workforce largely unionized, largely not unionized?
Overwhelmingly unionized.
And how does that affect your ability to try to get more accountability from poor performing employees? I mean, certain things are written into contracts that you can't deal with, right?
Right. But I mean, as you pointed out, I do come from, in recent times, a shipbuilding and ship repair background, all of which is union-based. And I think it's great that employees have collective bargaining rights to make sure that their grievances are treated properly and not whimsically. But management has a right as well to hold people accountable. You just have to work with the unions to get there. And by the way, I would also say our unions are immensely helpful in a lot of other areas, helping us build the case for services that are necessary out there. These people are very much on my team, not opposed to what I'm doing.
You're listening to Kevin Quigley. In case you didn't hear, he's the new Secretary of the State Department of Social and Health Services. We could talk for hours about the various areas this agency is into. But one thing that's kind of been on our radar on this program recently is the startling high percentage of young homeless people who come straight out of foster care administered by your department and end up on the street. They age out, and we hear frequently from them and their advocates, there's no support for them afterwards, and that's why they end up homeless afterwards. Do you acknowledge that that is a problem?
Absolutely.
And what are you going to do about it?
Well, the place it starts, obviously, is a cash problem, not a desire problem, in the sense that you can't find one of the 16,352 people who work at DSHS, no matter what department they are in, who don't want to address this problem. Let me take a step back and tell you that in the governor's budget that just came out, you see another one of his values, in that the governor finds it absolutely unacceptable that we have so many homeless children. So within the governor's budget is a $10 million initiative that will be led by Commerce with the assistance of the Department of Social and Health Services to make sure more youth overall that we help them with this challenge of homelessness, because it's not getting any smaller.
That's $10 million. That's a great input. But what will be the output from that? What will be the results of that when it comes to these foster kids in particular who are going out of foster care onto the streets?
Well, what we have to see, because the governor is very big on accountability, is we have to see a significant reduction, I think, in this problem.
And how would you define significant?
I would say, if we don't over time, over the near term, cut this number by 2,700, that's my magic number, that's my magic marker, then you should bring me back here and beat up on me, and that could happen.
A precise number. Thank you very much, Kevin Quigley. He heads up the Department of Social and Health Services, and we will bring you back. Hopefully, we won't have to beat you up about that number. He is saying that he will do something about this issue. You're listening to KUOW 94.9 Seattle.